The Value of a Coin, of a Communication System, and of a Class of Human Beings by Frederick K. Schroeder. There's a photo on the page, the caption, Fred Schroeder. From the editor, on Monday, July 6th, Dr. Fred Schroeder, NFB First Vice President and Chairman of our Braille Readers Are Leaders campaign to increase Braille literacy, in part by ensuring that all of the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollars are sold, thereby generating $4 million in matching funds for Braille literacy programs, addressed the convention. This is what he said.
As you just heard, the U.S. Space Shuttle Atlantis returned safely to Earth on Sunday, May 24th, after completing its 13-day mission to refurbish the Hubble Space Telescope. And as you also heard, Atlantis carried with it three of the Louis Braille commemorative coins. What a contrast. On the one hand, we have the Hubble Telescope representing the value of seeing, and at the same time, we have the Louis Braille commemorative coin representing the value of touch. This morning at the March for Independence, we heard from a number of young people. Boniface Wamber was one of the individuals who spoke, and he talked about his desire to become a scientist, specifically an astronomer. Now, we know that science seeks truth. It seeks understanding, but what does that mean? How are truth and understanding known? We know the old adage that seeing is believing, but is seeing the only or at least the best way to know, to believe, to verify truth? Is sight the definitive arbiter of fact? Will blindness keep Boniface from realizing his dream of being a scientist, an astronomer? I don't know if there have been blind astronomers, but I know that a sighted astronomer in 1910, Percival Lowell, captured the imagination of the public in his book, Mars as the Abode of Life. Based on extensive visual observations, Lowell offered a captivating description of a planet whose inhabitants had constructed a vast network of canals to distribute water from the polar regions to population centers nearer the equator. A few years earlier, in 1903, Lowell published a book entitled The Solar System, in which he offered his theory of planetary evolution. Based on mathematical analysis, Lowell was convinced that there must be an unseen ninth planet beyond Neptune. So Lowell believed in intelligent life on Mars based on what he had seen, but he was wrong. He also believed that there must be a ninth planet based on mathematical calculations, even though he could not see it, and he was right. Seeing may well be believing, but as Lowell's experience shows, sight is not infallible. And some truths are known without ever being seen, not the least of which is the human quest to create, to contribute, to make a difference. The insatiable drive for knowledge is not limited to those with sight. The ability to dream and to work toward fulfilling those dreams is the product of the mind and human spirit, not the product of vision. This year we are celebrating the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille. We celebrate Louis Braille's life and his invention, an invention that gave us access to the written word. We celebrate the Braille code, but most of all, we celebrate the gift of knowledge, the ability to learn and work as others. Before the creation of the Braille code, for the most part, blind people lived in utter hopelessness, isolation and poverty. Of course, hopelessness did not end with the development of the Braille code. Hopelessness, isolation, and poverty persist and sadly continue to dominate the lives of far too many blind people today. But the Braille code opened a door. It replaced the absence of hope with the possibility of a better life. What that better life might be was not immediately known, but without the means to read and write, no better life could easily be conceived. Over the ensuing century and a half since its development, Braille has made it possible for countless blind people to attain an education and to prepare for a productive life. Today, blind people work in virtually every field and profession, applying their talents, pursuing their interests, working productively to support themselves and their families. Still, in spite of the Braille code, its proven efficiency, its proven effectiveness, we are in the midst of a Braille literacy crisis. How severe is that crisis? On March 26th of this year, we released a report entitled The Braille Literacy Crisis in America, Facing the Truth, Reversing the Trend, Empowering the Blind. In that report, we state that it is estimated that only 10% of blind children are learning to read and write Braille. Yet recently, that estimate has been challenged. Critics say that the 10% estimate is misleading, that it overstates the problem. However, they have no better figure to offer in its place. So why challenge the 10% figure? What could possibly be the point? Let us assume for a minute that the 10% estimate is inaccurate. Does anyone really believe that there is no crisis in Braille literacy? Can anyone argue that the number of blind children receiving Braille instruction is adequate? That most blind children, save those very few who may not need it, are learning Braille? Still, it is a fair question. Where did we get the 10% figure? According to the American Printing House for the Blind 2009 Federal Quota Registration, there are 59,355 blind students in America. Of these, 5,560, or 9.4%, are classified as Braille readers. But that does not necessarily mean that the other 90% read print. Here's the breakdown. 15,914, or 27%, are print readers. 4,630, or 7.8%, are auditory readers. 13,005, 22%, are pre-readers. And the largest category, 20,246 students, 34%, are non-readers. That is, students considered to have no reading potential. These are the data. You can make of them what you will, but what leaps out at me is that the number of students using print is nearly three times as large as the number using Braille, 27%, compared to 9.4%. In fact, the number of Braille readers is only slightly higher than the number of auditory readers, 9.4% compared to 7.8%. And what can we make of the fact that the largest category, 34%, are categorized as non-readers? 20,246 students, one out of every three blind students in America, considered to have no reading potential at all. So what does this mean? We know there is a crisis in Braille literacy. We know there is an urgent need to face that crisis before another generation of blind children is lost, left functionally illiterate, suffering a substandard education and constricted opportunities for employment. This is why we initiated the Braille Readers Are Leaders campaign. We are taking action. Action that will address the shamefully low level of Braille literacy among blind children, working age adults, and seniors. Through our collective actions, we will increase access to Braille instruction and reading materials in every community in this nation. expand Braille mentoring, reading readiness, and outreach programs. Require all Braille teachers to pass national certification in literary Braille. We will ensure that parents of blind children know about the importance of Braille, especially for children who have remaining vision. We will advance the use of Braille in current and emerging technologies, research new methods for teaching and learning Braille, make Braille resources more available through online sharing of materials, enhance production methods, and improved distribution. And we will educate the American public. Show them that blind people have the right to Braille literacy and can compete and assume a productive role in society. And this is only the beginning. On October 1, launching our 2009 Meet the Blind Month campaign, we intend to present the President of the United States with a book containing 100 letters from blind children and adults, parents of blind children, and others, calling on President Obama to direct the resources of the federal government in support of Braille. In support of Braille and in support of the dreams and aspirations of blind children and adults, the letters will come from blind people who have grown up reading Braille and who use it in their work and daily lives. The letters will come from blind people who never had the opportunity to learn Braille or who were discouraged from learning it on the misguided grounds that they had enough vision to get by using print. The letters will come from parents who have struggled, sometimes for years, to get Braille included in their children's IEPs, and from parents who thought they had been successful in getting Braille instruction for their children, only to find that the teacher comes around once or twice a week for 15 or 20 minutes to teach their children to read. The letters will come from newly blind adults who have been told that Braille is too hard to learn and so slow that it has no practical value and the technology makes Braille obsolete. And the letters will come from blind seniors who have been discouraged from learning Braille, being told that older people are incapable of learning to read Braille well enough for it to matter. These letters will be a testament to the importance of Braille, a testament to the difficulty so many blind people face in trying to learn to read, a testament to the ability of blind people to contribute, to learn and work alongside their sighted neighbors, blind people who, like others, want to marry, own their own homes, raise families, and participate fully in life. At one time, sight was required to be literate, but no longer. Touch gives us literacy. It opens the door to knowledge, to facts and information, to contemplation and reflection and human thought and imagination. It gives us the ability to learn and work and live as others. This is the gift of Louis Braille. This is why we celebrate his life, his achievements, and his legacy. But our struggle for first-class status did not end with the advent of Braille. Indeed, it was only the beginning. Nearly 70 years ago, blind people organized through the National Federation of the Blind came together to work toward full equality. The road has been long, and the challenges many. But our progress shows that our dream of full equality is more than the hopeless yearning of people suffering the crushing yoke of inferiority. At times we have been discouraged, but never defeated. And we will not be defeated now. Blind people deserve the right to be literate. It is a basic right and one we intend to secure. This is why we initiated the Braille Readers, Our Leaders campaign to double the number of blind people who are able to read and write Braille by the year 2015, moving us ever closer to full equality. Full equality, equality based on ability, not sight. Equality based on drive, determination, and hard work, not on the ability to see. Together, we are showing the public that while seeing is one way of believing, it is not the only way, and that blind people, too, have the right and ability to contribute, to live and learn and work as others, and we will not be denied. Thank you, Dr. Maurer.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate the time.